that later. Praise God. All right, I'm officially cold. Can you turn off the fan? Can you believe it? Turn the thing, and you can turn off the AC. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sitting here thinking, I am cold, so you're frozen. Hello, Frozen. You want to sing the theme song? Okay. Goes to the thing. What? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know, as we talk about grow groups, the vision at YCF is to gather to worship. And we worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Glories. We also, not only do we worship Him, but we grow. And we grow when we spend time with the Word. We spend time with people in groups. I spend time every time I pop on a DVD or a podcast or whatever they call those things now. You know, I'm so technologically. So. And the last part of our vision is we go. And who was telling me a story? Liz. Liz was telling me a story about what go looks like. And go is not walking around with the biggest Bible you can and smacking somebody and saying, you're going to hell. That's not a good way to do the go. Go is letting your light shine. And Liz was just sharing about a server whose hand was not doing good. And they were just loving on her and helping her. And at the end, just very gracefully, can we just pray for you? Really nice. That's part of the go. Go looks great on you guys. All right. So I just encourage you. You let your light shine. That's part of the go. Sometimes it's little steps till we grab them. But praise the Lord. That's our vision here. I just want to just encourage you. All right, let's pray. Father, you are awesome. And we have welcomed your presence here today. We thank you, Father, that your presence is here. We thank you that we just declare that we're going to have ears open. Our hearts are prepared. We're just going to saturate ourselves in what you have to say. It'll be a light into our path and direction. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And we are going to leave here better than we came in. Praise God. I am having so much fun in this series. This is lesson number 3. Again, if you weren't able to be with us, you can go online and listen to it. Or if you're still like me in front of you, you can fill out a envelope and we'll give you a free CD. And you can pick it up next week in the back. Praise God. But we're talking about worst bad day ever. Anybody have one of those? This last 24 hours. Sometimes we have these bad days, but we're really specifically talking about Jesus, and Jesus's worst bad day was when? Good Friday. You're all such Bible scholars, right? Jesus's worst bad day was when he hung on the cross on Good Friday. That was his worst bad day ever. It was turned out to be our best day through that. But when he hung on the cross, this is what we're doing in the series. When he hung on the cross, he makes these profound statements. And we're just kind of throw some scriptures in there and just plop them into you so you can understand that you can walk through your worst bad day because Jesus is going to give us some light so we can get through it. So these are some of the things that Jesus experienced on his worst bad day. And some of you are going to go, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, yep, mm-hmm, yep. Okay, one of them, I'm going to just read them off. This is week 1. We talked about betrayal. He was betrayed. False accusations, man, they just slithered him on that. Rejection, abuse, and humiliation. So those were some of the things that happened just on his worst bad day on the cross. All right? And what we're going to do is going to look at what the statements he says on his worst bad day so we can walk through ours. And I would love to tell you, but I'd be a liar, that you're never going to have a bad day. Oh, honey, you're never going to have a bad day. Just meet Jesus. He just makes everything. No, you know, stuff hits. So how about we learn how do we get through all of this? So this is what these statements are. They're going to help us get through our worst bad day. So we are, our key scripture, if you want to open up to Hebrews 12:2, and they're just going to write that for you. How about that? You're going to have to flip open your Bibles. How about that? Hebrews 12:2, Jesus says, keep your eyes, well, Jesus didn't say this. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. So we're just going to take that literally. We are studying how Jesus made it through his worst bad day ever. We're going to study it, all right? We're going to look at how he did it. And the next part, it says, he finished his race. some days I just want to hop in bed and call it finished, right? But that's not what it's talking about, okay? That's not what it's talking about. So we're going to talk later on in this message, how did he finish his race? What does that look like and how do I do that? And the last part of that verse on Hebrews 12 says, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. You know, I can remember worst bad day ever, and this was my interpretation. Someone put a blindfold on me, spun me around, and said, start walking. I was just couldn't figure out life, all right? And it says here, because he never lost sight, I felt like I lost sight, because he never lost sight of where he's headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. So we're going to find out through the whole series, how did he walk through this? How did Jesus walk through it? And how can I walk through my worst bad day ever? So I think that might be a good one. And I don't know. I liked what Matt shared. You know, that could have been the worst bad day ever. And what I got out of that is just be thankful. Thankful. Just have a thankful heart. That's just one easy way you can walk through these bad times instead of grumping it out. All right. So thank you, Matt. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about how to get through our bad days. Today is week 3. This is Jesus's statement on the cross. On his worst bad day. Open up to John chapter 19, verse 26. This is Jesus' statement while he's on the cross, having the worst bad day ever. You ready? John 19, 26. When Jesus saw his mother, by the way, this is the Gospel of John. This is John the Apostle writing this. All right, so when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside me, John, right? His closest friend. Don't you love John? I'm his favorite. That's kind of what he's saying there. I love it. Just so cute. Okay. When Jesus saw his mother standing beside me, his closest friend, he said to her, he is your son, referring to John. Now, wait a minute. John wasn't his son, but these are the statements out of Jesus. He says, he is your son. And verse 27, and to me, he said, she is your mother. And from then on, I took her into my home. Okay, so this is kind of fascinating to me because I think about Jesus. Jesus always was. Jesus has existed from the beginning. He's all he is, okay? And he's always been around. He was there for creation. He's part of, he just spoke words for creation. He created the universe, which tells me he was a planner. He wasn't winging it. Do you ever read the story of creation? Oh, I got it out of order. Let me fix this up. No, he was a planner. How many of you planners? You write everything. Oh, yeah. No, nobody raise your hand. Ask to see Sherry's, what's that thingamajigger she has? Day timer. That girl's a planner. Multicolor, okay? I'm a planner. I write things down. So I believe Jesus was a planner. And I also believe he was never late for anything. So those are things I know about Jesus. So how could he make that statement? Why would he wait, like to me, the last minute and say, hey, take care of my mother? All right? Come on. Back then, they didn't have Social Security. Back then, there was never government assistance, especially since Rome was the government. I'm sure he wasn't assisting. They weren't assisting the Jews, all right? So he knew no Social Security, no government assistant. And so question. Why did he wait to the last moment? That looks like last moment stuff, right? Looks like last moment. And listen, as I read my Bible, he knew he was going to die on the cross. And as it got closer, he knew that was the day, or it's around the corner. He knew all that. So question. Why did he wait till that moment to say, hey, take care of my mother? Because I believe we're going to study and learn a few things. You ready? This is my big idea for you guys. This is the thing I want you to understand that we're just going to pound inside, outside, all through the message that it's just going to stick to you all the way through Monday. So if you're taking notes, write this down. We must focus on the important things while we're walking through the bad days. We must focus on the important. Everybody say important. Okay, important things while we're walking through the bad. So I want to help you understand this statement, and I'm going to start by talking about the enemy. Anybody know you have an enemy? His name is Satan. He's called the devil, the deceiver, Lucifer, all that. We have an enemy, all right? And if you've been a follower for Jesus, you should know that, all right? He's been around for 1,000 years. And he is a strategist. He is a planner, and his plan is to mess your life. Anybody figured that one out? Man, I figured out that by the end of the first week when I received Jesus. Woo! Okay, and now, here's what he tries to do in our life. Satan, really, really, what his main plan is, his main strategy is to keep you far from God. To keep you not having an eternal home in heaven, not having everlasting life. He wants to keep you away from God. But when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he lost that round, okay? He loses, and he lost. You're now a child of God. You now have a relationship with God. You're called the child, a friend of God, your heirs of salvation, and all that good stuff. And he is mad about that because he cannot go and spend eternity in heaven. So he's mad at you. He's ticked at you. He doesn't like you. So we have to get over that part. And listen, this is what he's going to try to do now. He's going to try to keep you from living your purpose, the God purpose that God has for you. Now, he lost the round about you're going to heaven. He lost that round. He can't mess with that. You're going to heaven. Okay. God is your father. But now he wants to mess with you and keep you from fulfilling all the great things, all the purposes that God has for you to live in and to do. And there's to do stuff. All right. So he wants to stop you, write this down, from producing fruit in your life. It's eternal fruit, and it's fruit on this earth. He wants to stop you. That's his plan. That's his strategy. And he's got strategies, but that's his whole plan. All right? So he doesn't want you to be a productive Christian. Don't get me going. He doesn't want you to follow after God. He doesn't want you to be passionate about the things that God's passionate about. God's passionate about people. And he doesn't want you to be passionate about people. He wants you to have a bad day and forget you all stuff, okay? That's what he wants to do. He wants to stop you from being productive for the Lord. So here he is a strategist, and Jesus does this incredible parable. It's called the parable of the sower. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's found in the Gospel of Mark and Luke. We're going to look at Luke, all right? So if you want to open up your Bibles we're going to do Mark. Open up to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16. No, Mark chapter 4, verse 16. Okay. Now, Jesus loved to tell parables. That's because they didn't have TV. So he would tell stories that just became alive. And two particular parables he actually explains because he doesn't want us to misinterpret it. And this is one of them. The parable of the sower, not only does he tell this cute story, this amazing, impacting story, but he explains it. All right? So we're going to look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is simply about the word of God. Real simple. It's about the word of God. It's about you reading the Bible and getting it into your life where you actually do something and it produces in your life. This is what it's all about. You reading the word of God, understanding the word of God, accepting the word of God and start producing in your life. That's what the whole thing is about. And the parable of the sower talks about four kinds of ground, four kinds of dirt. And really, it has to do with people's hearts, not your physical heart, your heart, you know, your attitude, how you do life. So the fourth one, I'm going backwards. The fourth one is the good ground. Everybody know about the good ground? I love good ground. Must be full of miracle grow, right? But the good ground produces somewhat, some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. That's good ground. And that's what we all want to be. We want to be good ground where we are producing in our life. We're just not a bump on a log. Pastor D, be nice. Okay. So there's three other types of soil that he talks about. The first one's hard ground. That's that path that's walked on. It's hard ground. Now, if you're a non-believer, you've not asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, you're a non-Christian, this could be you. This could be you when someone comes up and tells you who God is, how much he loves you, and you hear about it and you say, I don't want it. I don't want to hear about it. I just reject it. So that could be describing a non-believer, a person who's not yet You know, and they just reject Jesus. That hard ground could be that non-believer that rejects Jesus. It could also be us's. What? Not me, Pastor D. Oh, yeah. All right. Now, when we accept Jesus, how many of you have ever read your Bible and it's telling you things? You're reading it and it's just speaking to you. Hey, you need to change. You need to ship your ship up or whatever that is. You need to watch what you do here. You need to do this and that. Okay. And so anybody read your Bible and it's speaking to you? Man, sometimes it's just slapping me silly. You know, so I'm reading that. And then I say, not you guys, because you're so spiritual. Well, I'm not ready to do that. Ah, are you kidding me? Forgive that person? You got to be kidding. I'm not ready to do that. Well, that really says I have a hard heart because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. All right. So Christians can have a hard heart, but not us. Somebody else. Right. Okay. Second soil. There's two other ones. The other one's called, and I am going to get to Mark 4. I just wanted to get you there. Shallow, rocky ground. That's the second one Jesus talks about. And some of us, you could be going through this, all right? And this is when the enemy just comes and hits you. He hits you with trouble. He just smacks you with all sorts of problems, all right? And what he's doing, remember what his whole purpose is. He's trying to stop you from producing fruit in your life. That's all this attack is all about. All right, so stony ground or shallow ground, that's all it's about. And the third one is thorns, thorny grounds. I was working in my garden yesterday. I thought, oh my gosh, this is bad. There's just thorns and thistles all over the place. And that's when the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in. Y'all know these scriptures. They enter in. And what's the purpose? It's to stop us from producing fruit in our life. That's all why they're there. That's why it's there. Okay? So, let's talk about shallow ground. I am at Mark 4:16. Here we go. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear what? Hear what? The word, okay? And at once receive it with joy. Okay, so if you've been a follower of Jesus Christ for any length of time, isn't it true sometimes you're reading your Bible? Yep. Or you're listening to it, or you're listening to me at church or in a grow group where we're talking about scriptures, okay, whatever way, and you see it and you hear it and you're like, wow, oh my gosh, I get it. That is awesome. Anybody ever have days like that where you're like, oh my God, you know, you've read it 10,000 times and it's the first time it just jumps out. Okay. So, and you are ready to grasp it and put it into action. And then verse 17, ready? When trouble or persecutions comes, guess what that is? When trouble, those are your bad days. Troubles, persecution, those are bad days. So when bad days come, it because of what? Because of the word. Okay, so why do your troubles come? It's really not about you. It's about the word. Because who doesn't want you to get the word, understand the word, apply it in your life and produce fruit? All right. So it's about the word. It's about Satan trying to stop you from spending time and hearing God. The word, the Bible is God's word. He wants to talk to you. And his whole purpose is to stop you from producing fruit in your life. All right. So when troubles and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So what happens? They quickly fall away. Quickly. All right. So what does that mean? Does that mean that, okay, so I was reading my Bible and oh God, that is so good. Oh yeah. And then I just quickly fall away. You know what that means? It doesn't mean I stop following Jesus. It doesn't mean I stop loving Jesus. It just means the thing that I had this big light and going, wow, I get it. I'm going to do this. I just stop. It quickly falls away. How many of you, you know, you're finished the page while you're having time with the Lord and all you're like, yeah. And then you close your Bible and you're like, quickly fall away. I've had a lot of moments like that. Lots of them. Getting better at it. All right. So let me say this. I've had people say this, they said to me, Pastor D, you know, I have more problems now that I'm a Christian than before I was a Christian. It, like, what am I doing wrong? I have more stuff. hit me now that I'm a Christian, that what am I doing wrong? I'm going to tell you something. You're doing a lot of things right. You are doing a lot of things right. And what happens is you're going after God, and it's just the stony ground, and he's trying to stop you from applying it in your life. He just wants to stop you again from just having fruit in your life and doing things for the Lord. And if he can't get you with the stony ground, he comes after you with the thorns, right? He comes after with the thorns. And remember, he's a strategist. Same thing. I'm just going to say it over again. His whole idea is, now that you're a believer, now that you're a child of God, now that heaven's your home, now that you have an abundant life, now he just wants to stop you from producing fruit. And that fruit is not only in your life, but in other people's life. So I would like to, and listen, I have to deal with this all the time. I have to work on this. I have not arrived. Praise the Lord. Anybody hang around with me for 48 hours? You go, yeah, she's not arrived yet. All right. And that's why we have to focus while we have these bad days. We have to focus on the important things. So I'm going to give you three important things to focus on your bad days, your worst days. And you know, it's interesting. Sometimes those bad days, I have to tell you, most of my bad days don't last 24 hours. They last a week because somebody caused it, you know? Somebody's messing in my life. Sometimes it lasts a week. Sometimes those bad days can last months. And listen, circumstances that are out of your control. Sometimes you have these worst bad days that last a year or so, all right? So let's talk about three important things to focus on while we're walking through our bad days. And listen, if we get these things in our life, it'll produce peace. It'll produce life. It'll produce good fruit in our life. So three things. Number one, when you're going through your bad day, you need to focus on your faith. Real simple. What do I mean by faith? Focus on your relationship with God. I'm not talking faith. I'm talking about a relationship. Focus on who he is. Focus on he's your father. He's seated you in the heavenlies. He's poured out his love. He's taken all shame and guilt and all your sins away. Focus on that relationship. So what do we do when we have these bad days and everybody is just mean to me? I focus on my Jesus. I focus on that relationship. So if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:9, I got a great scripture about that. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God will surely do this for you, for he always does just what he says. And he is the one who invited you into a relationship with him, right? It's about a relationship. He's the one who invited you into this wonderful friendship with his son, even Christ our Lord. Ooh, I like that. So our number one goal, our focus, is this relationship. It's about relationship. Listen, you get married and you quit talking to your spouse, you're going to have, I was trying to think of a nice word, a crappy, that wasn't better than the other word I thought of, okay? It's going to be crappy. You have to work on a relationship. You have to work on your relationship. And it's not a work, but you have to keep this relationship with fire in it for the Lord, all right? So you have to work on your relationship. And how do you do that? How do you do a relationship with the Lord? Spend time in the Word, okay? Spend time in the Word of God, reading your Bible, worshiping Him. Spend time, you can also spend time just listening to the TV ministers, CDs. Man, I have in my bathroom, it'll take me a year because it only takes me so many minutes to get ready in the morning. I have a CD series by Creflo Dollar on the grace of generosity. And every day I pop that thing in and I listen to like 20 minutes. And then the next day I'll probably listen to the same thing, 20 minutes, the same one over and over, because I am going to focus on knowing that my relationship with God and what he's given to me. So anyway, those are some things that I do. So you can't borrow it. You have to wait a whole year until I finish it. Praise the Lord. Now, what does the enemy want you to do? He wants you to get so mad, so depressed, that you pull away from that relationship. And okay, so I am not perfect. And this is a long, long time ago in a far, far away place. I got miffed at God, and I pulled away from my relationship with him. And I put a Bible down for 3 years. I was stinking mad, and it wasn't God that did it. It was stupid me, all right? But people pull away. Well, I'm mad at God. people, that's the last person to get mad at. It's the devil you should be mad at, okay? And then get over your madness and start speaking the word. But people pull away from God. Dumb. I know, I was really dumb. Dumb. Okay. So, but he wants you, and you know, when you pull away from God, you pull away from spending time in the word, pull away from people that are lights in your world. That's the one place that you should never go. Isn't that, you know, like stupid, D? Pastor D, you're so stupid. I wasn't Pastor D back then, so maybe that counted. But that was so stupid, really. So like the dumbest thing, the worst thing you could do is pull away from God. All right. So I know you all aren't like me. I know you are so much more spiritual. Okay. But I want to tell you, this hasn't happened in a long time. Yeah, like last week. Ready? So on my worst bad days, I can have a pity party. Anybody ever have a pity party? I invite lots of people to my pity party. You ready? I invite people to my pity party. Like, everybody hates me. I invite them to my pity party. Nobody likes me. I invite them to my pity party. God's mad. I invite him to my pity party. I mean, stupid, right? So, but isn't that the dumbest thing? Having a pity party, okay? But what happens is you and I get so caught up in our worst bad day ever that we walk away, push God, push believers, push time, just to be with the Lord. So we are not that dumb. Amen? So what do we do? What are the things we can do? We need to focus on our relationship. All right. Here's another scripture. Turn over to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9:23. This is Jesus talking. It's red letter in your Bible. If you have one of those, praise God. You know, I'd love, it is sometimes easy to push away from God. It's just crazy. Push away from focusing on him and a relationship. It's just stupid easy. And we don't want to do that. So you all at Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus said to all the people, if any of you want to be my followers, okay, he's really saying, if any of you want to have a relationship, keep this relationship on fire. It's about relationship. If any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross each day. Did everybody see that one? Each day? Each day and follow me. All right. Notice how he said you need to forget about yourself. I am not the only selfish person in the place. We tend to be very selfish. We just think about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And he's saying, hey, if this relationship, you got to forget about yourself. Get over yourself. And I have purpose for you. I'm going to get ahead of myself. All right. So you got to let go of that. And then he says, he paints this really pretty picture about pick up your cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Okay. Following Jesus is an everyday thing, even on your bad days. Following Jesus, even on your bad days. And on those bad days, the enemy, he is trying to smack you silly, right? So following Jesus, all right? Now, aren't you so glad that Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome. So if he overcome and I've asked him into my life, which for all you in him people, so I'm in him and he's in me, then I can overcome. I can overcome, but I got to keep this relationship. I got to keep my eyes focused. All right. So I'm so glad he said that. But he says, carry your cross. So the cross has to do with Jesus who died on the cross. So it has to do with death. The cross has to do with death, right? So he's saying, carrying your cross. And so what is he saying? All right, I'm supposed to pick up my cross. By the way, he said, every day, pick up your cross. And you know what that is? I'm encountering a bad day, my worst bad day ever. Matter of fact, it's my worst bad day week. It's going on for months here. And I want to say, oh man, I just want to quit. I just want to have a pity party. I just want to isolate myself. But, this is the but, I will forget about my feelings and I will stay with the Lord. I will stay in his presence. I will spend time. Matter of fact, I have to double up. When you're going through your bad days, you need to double up. All right. If you thought your 5-minute thing in the morning works, it's not going to work on your bad day. So how about making 15 minutes and then maybe before you go to bed? So praise God. Yeah, we just dig in more with him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So again, what does the enemy want us to do? He wants us to stop focusing on our faith. Our faith is our relationship. So how do you do your relationship? All right. How do you do your relationship with the Lord? For me, I start in the morning. All right. I do the coffee thing. Sorry if you don't like coffee. You can drink whatever you want. All right. And I sit down. And there's some days I have 15 minutes. Some days I have a half an hour. And some days I have an hour or 2 hours. And I just get in the Word. And you know, it's really crazy. It's like that CD. I'll just read a paragraph. I'll read it over and over. And I just get quiet. Okay? Just get, that's how I start my day. That's how I focus. And then there's some days where it is just flying and I'll grab my Bible in the middle of the day and definitely at the end of the day. And there's other days, man, I start in the morning and I just keep going. I'm running the race. All right. But you guys, all I'm going to say is, how do you focus on your faith? How do you focus on your relationship? And I'll tell you, you have to have the Word of God. You have to have the Word of God. And for all of you, now I have, you're not supposed to have favorites, but I have favorites that I listen to all the time. All right. Listening to men or women all the time without the Word of God, without you spending time with the Word of God, you're just kind of getting a level, all right? But God's drawing you into a personal time. So I have a personal time with the Lord, and then I got Creflo on while I'm putting my makeup on, all right? And then when I'm driving, who do I have in now? Who am I listening to? Oh, anybody know Bill Winston? He's got the funniest laugh. He's so funny. Okay. So I got him in the car and, okay. Well, anyway, rest of the story. Okay. So focus on your faith. Here's number two. When you're walking through your bad days, remember we're walking through. We are going to get through. But while you're in the middle of your bad days, you need to focus on your purpose. Focus on your purpose. Focus on your purpose. Now, everybody in this room, you have purpose. You have purpose. You have purpose. And I read a poll. They asked a bunch of Christians if they knew what their purpose was. And it said 87% of Christians didn't know what their purpose was. Whoa, they flunked the test. That's not really good. Okay. And they would say, I feel purposeless. I just don't feel like I have any value in my life. Wrong answer. Okay. You know, listen, let me say this. Whatever you do for a living, whether you own a business or you work for somebody, God will come and help you on your job. God will help you in your business. God, he'll bless you, okay? But whatever you're doing for your living, all right, that's not your real reason for being alive. Okay, now some of you love it. Love your job. God bless you. Kisses and hugs. That's wonderful. A bunch of people don't really love what they do. Okay. And we just do it so we can eat, right? Get up in the morning, be disciplined so you can eat, get a paycheck and live, right? It's okay. No shame. All right. I can't raise my hand because you know, I'm the pastor. That would be bad. I love doing what I do. I really do. No lying, okay? But listen, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible teaches. And I went through this on week one. Before you ever took your first breath, before you, God knew you and he put purpose in your life. And it's written in a book in heaven and it's about purpose for your life. And our job is to find that out and it evolves. I will tell you what I thought was my purpose in my 20s. Was for my 20s. And then I found more purpose when I hit my 30s. And now I'm my 60s. God only knows what's going to happen as I keep going, all right? But I'm digging into purpose in life. I'm digging in, all right? And your whole purpose is to produce fruit in your life for God's kingdom, for God's plans, for God's for the things that he's passionate about. Praise the Lord. And for church, praise the Lord. So here's a good scripture, Matthew 6:33. We must keep our focus on our purpose. Matthew 6:33. But more than anything else, put God's word work That's like our purpose. First, and do what he wants. Then other things will be yours as well. Okay, so whatever God created you to do, just do it and keep doing it. And then, you know, it just kind of snowballs into other things, okay? So whatever he's, you know, whatever you, this thing that you just passion, you know what? Who was I listening to? What's his name? Chris Furtick, Furtock, whatever his name is. It's a young guy. Thank you. Thank you. I was listening to him. He was talking about purpose. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's got my message. He stole it. But listen, this is what he said. And I thought, ting, your purpose. You don't know what your purpose is? It's the thing that makes you cry. It's most likely the thing that God brought you through. It's the thing that, man, it makes you angry sometimes, okay? It's the thing that you just naturally go to. Just, you know, I get around you, some of y'all, and I hang with you for a while. I'm like, well, baby, I know their purpose, all right? But just think about that. Just think about that. If not, go listen to Chris. It was really good on the, anyway. You know, the funny thing that Satan likes to just lie, and he's the father of lies, and he'll say, you know, what you're doing is not too big. It's not too important. What you do, your purpose, it's just a little insignificant thing. Okay, I have to work on that. You know, I look at some of these big churches and I'm going, God, am I doing anything significant? And you know what he says? Just do what I called you to do. Just do, keep doing what I called you to do. I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. I heard a story about this pastor, one of those mega megas. Anybody see that, the Fish mega movie? Should I go see that? Speaking of megas? No? No, not good. All right. I wanted to see that. Okay. Anyway, so mega churches. Pastor D, you got lost. No, I'm not. I know where I am. Mega churches. This pastor was like, whoa, we had 1,000 guests for Easter Sunday. High five. Came out 1,000 people. First off, I think I only have 300 chairs in here or less. Okay. So he was like, yay. And the next morning he got up and he was bummed because another pastor had 2,000 guests on Easter Sunday. And he was like, oh, okay, just stay in your lane. Do what you're called to do. Do not compare yourself. Do not compare yourself. Gosh. All right, I was good. And listen, that kind of stuff never ends. So whatever God has gifted you, called you, just keep doing it. Do it well. Do it with joy. I was hanging out with Aunt Gail. Aunt Gail started as a lunch lady. She now runs the lunchroom. She's a manager, whatever. But she was telling me stories, a little old lunch lady, before she's this, of kids that she'd get to share Jesus with. Kids she just would help out. And then the other staff and teachers and stuff like that. And she could have said, well, I'm just a poor, pathetic little lunch lady. She, you know, I got to listen. I know her gift, and she was touching people, touching kids. So do not discredit what you think is little and insignificant. If God placed it in you, it's the biggest thing in your life. Just go do it. Praise God. Okay, so we're talking about gifts. Open up to 1 Peter 4:10. Talking about gifts. Y'all have gifts. Say, I have gifts in my life. I have callings and gifts. My gift's so doggone special. I just love my gift, and I'm learning it. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10. But more than anything, oh, wrong one. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Okay, I'm going to read that one again. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful. I love faithful. Any pastor, we love that word. Faithful. Faithful stewards of God's grace in this various forms. Okay. Y'all have gifts and just go out and just serve God. Just tell people, live it, be a blessing and serve others. All right. Now, you know how I've been talking about every week Jesus' worst bad day ever was when? When he hung on the cross. But I want to guess who had the most worst bad days? Guess who had the most worst bad days? This is coming. The Apostle Paul. He had more worst bad days, okay? And now, the reason, he had a very unique calling. It wasn't mine. He had a very special gift given that God gifted him. a calling he gifted him, and it was to finish writing the New Testament. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Painful. When you guys ask me, Pastor D, can you write a recommendation letter for me? Painful for me to write. Not that I don't love you, okay? I'm not the writer. But Paul got to write 2/3 of the New Testament. God gifted him. Now, of course, God spoke to him and he wrote these words. But that was his gift and his calling, all right? And, you know, do you think the enemy didn't want him to do that? Yeah, that's why he had so many worst bad days ever. The enemy was like, are you kidding me? I got to knock this guy out. He's going to write these powerful words that'll change lives. Okay, so not only was he commissioned, called, gifted to write the rest of the New Testament, he also had a special calling to go to places that never heard Jesus. Okay, now, you're cracking up going, are you kidding me? You can go anywhere. It's a national cuss word, let alone people know, right? Okay, they know Jesus, or they type of knowing Jesus. But back then, he was going to nations, cities that had never heard the name of Jesus. They didn't know anything about Jesus, all right? And he is commissioned, so we call that taking the gospel. All right, so do you think the enemy was going to cause the most bad days? For this guy, he sure did. He sure did. All righty. So open up to 2 Corinthians 11. And I want to show you some of his bad days, his worst bad days. And I hopefully, like Matt, it'll put perspective to your life. It'll put perspective to your life. And then I want to show you how he ended his life. I want to show you how he ended his life. So you all at 2 Corinthians 11. I'm not. Hang on. Let me flip my pages. 2 Corinthians 11:23. I have worked harder, been put in jail more often, been whipped time without number, and faced death again and again and again and again. Like bad day, bad day, bad day. So this guy had a lot of bad days, all right? Verse 24. 5 times the Jews gave me their terrible 39 lashes. 5 times. Okay, that means, by the way, Paul was a Jew. That means his people whipped him 5 times with the 39 lashes. So you talk about scarred up back, right? It was probably scary scars right back there, all right? And, you know, I was thinking, one time, if that would have happened to me one time, I would have said, hey, God, you know what? Once is enough. I'm going to go get a secular job and I'll give you all my money. But, you know, I'm done. One was bad. And yet, Paul kept with his purpose. And it says 5 times. I mean, whoa. Okay, the next part. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. Well, one trans says reeds. So I looked this up. And, you know, take the good old-fashioned wooden bat. A wooden bat. And he was beat. You had to have cracked bones, right? Listen, you know, 2 years ago when I fell and broke and shattered bones here, it was an ow. I took those pain pills, baby. No, it hurt. And God healed him. God healed him, and it happened 3 times. 3 times. I would have been, listen, God, once, enough. If you need somebody else to write the rest of the Bible, go find them. Okay, but he knew his purpose. He knew his purpose and he was moving on. Okay, the other one, it says, I was stoned. Now today we would think he was just higher than a kite, but stoned back then is they took these big rocks in Bible's days. Looking over here. Took these big rocks and some of them, and it was really interesting, different Bible commentaries said it took 2 people to lift these up. So what are those big thingies over there? How much do they weigh? Can I lift them? I'm only lifting 20 pounds now. I can do that now. Okay. So, but they take these big stones and they tie you up and they chuck them on top of you. They chuck them on top of you. You probably have a crushed skull and broken bones and just bad. Okay. Bad. All right. And it says that he died. He was stoned and he died. And it said a bunch of Christians came and found him and prayed over him and jumped up. And he jumped up back to life and finished kept doing what he was called to do. I was like, no, baby, we are hiding, right? Come on. Okay, more worst bad days ever. That last part, it says he was shipwrecked 3 times. I once was in the open sea all night. Think of Jaws. What's the music? Da-na-na-na-na. I just watched that this summer. It was fun. You should watch it. Okay. Okay. So, this guy had more worse bad days than you. More worse bad days than you, right? I didn't like any of his worst bad days, okay? All right. So, this is what you can do. So, from now on, when you come home and you have a worst bad day, and instead of saying, oh my gosh, I quit, you can say to your wife, hey, at least I'm not Paul, right? It's all about perspective. Well, at least I'm not Paul. It's pretty good. So that's your new thing when your spouse comes home and they start to say, could be worse. At least I'm not Paul. All right. So reason why I shared you with this, okay, this guy, Paul, this guy, more worse bad days ever, he never stopped pursuing God. He never quit the thing he was called to do. I would have quit, okay? He never quit. He never quit his relationship, his focus of faith. He never quit that. He just grew. He just grew, okay? He never stopped his purpose. So turn over to 2 Timothy. This is the coolest scripture. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, this is Paul, I have fought the good fight. Baby, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Okay. He kept the faith. He kept his focus on his faith. He kept loving the Lord. All right. But I like this part. He finished his race. He finished his race. So what does that mean? He finished his purpose. Every one of you have purpose in your life. And yes, every one of you has bad days and seasons and stuff like that. But I'm like, whoa, he finished his purpose. All right. Now, I say this every time. This is like the third week on our message. And I say, initially, when we get hit with a bad day, worst bad day ever, okay, it takes a while to catch your breath, get both feet on the ground. I always say, try to figure out what planet you're really supposed to be back on. It takes some time, okay? But that can't be your excuse to stop, quit. You know, what do we say? You need to jump back on the horse. Because you have purpose in your life. You have callings and you're supposed to be producing fruit in your life. It may take a little bit, okay? But you just have to do that, okay? We keep going forward like Paul did. Okay, last one. Last thing you need to focus while you're going through your bad day. And this is what Jesus said when he was on the cross, okay? We need to focus on family. Focus on family. Focus on family. Okay, so for me, I got kids. I have a grandson. By the way, my grandson will be here on Wednesday. Hallelujah. I get to see him 3 times this year. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, y'all are so spiritual and I can be carnal. None of you just all top A students and stuff like that. But I can be grouchy on my bad day. I can snap. Ping, little missiles, ouch, okay? And I guess where I do that? At home. But I go to work. Hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing so good. How's the kids? Yeah, you know, you're all happy, smiley, right? Right? On your bad day, right? You're going through a bad day. You go home, what do? You start biting everybody's head off. And I heard a pastor tell this story, and I thought, he said he had a bad day, and it was like the second bad day, the third bad day. He came home, and his wife's cooking dinner. They finally sit down, and he is just biting, pinging, and she just says, I'm going to my room. So here's Dad. By the way, he's a pastor. Here's Dad at the table with the kids. The wife's departed up to the room. I always say it's best to leave than to have to apologize for what come out of your mouth. So sometimes it's okay to take a break. So she's up in there, up in a room, probably praying, casting, da 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 da. But he's sitting at the table and he says, awkward. Here's my kids, 4 kids. And, his oldest one, he's he was in middle school. And he says, Dad, I guess you had a bad day. Do you want to talk about it? You've raised some incredible kids, and you are pretty in front of anybody. Okay. So we have bad days. All right. But, so we are not to be grumpy and grouchy to the people that we love on our bad days. Okay. Not supposed to do that. And the second thing that we sometimes do, not you guys, it's everybody else. Okay. Somewhere over there is we can neglect the people we love on our bad days. We can neglect the people that we love on our bad days, okay? Now, whether it's your kids, spouse, whatever, all righty? Because we get so consumed with me, 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 you know? And I'm like, forget about the rest of you, all right? So we get consumed with ourselves. And Jesus is showing you on the cross, on his worst bad day ever, that you do not neglect the people that you love. And he spoke about his mom. All right. So I have a scripture for you, and it's Ephesians chapter 5, and it's about husbands and wives. And we're just going to read over there. You may not be married, you know, whatever. But I know Satan is on full war path about marriages. Full war path. I mean, that is his strategy right there. So I thought we'd just take these and just kind of read it. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. The Amplified, everybody calls it the girly Bible because there's so many words. No, no, no. It's the Greek, and they bring more words, more Greek words out there. Okay, so don't you go say, ladies, talk more. All right, so I'm reading out of the Amplified, Ephesians 5, verse 33. However, each man, it's talking about husbands, among you, without exception. You know what that means? You don't have an excuse. Okay? Talking to the men, husbands. Each of you, without excuse, is to love his wife as his very own self. Love his wife as his very own self. Okay. That means you are to love yourself, your wife, like you love you. Everybody, I love me. I take care of me. Right? So just imagine you love your wife like you love yourself. Man, that relationship should be looking pretty good. All right? Oh, a lot of amens over here. I'm Pastor D. They're just shouting, woohoo! Okay. I'm telling you, love your wife like you love yourself. So you just kind of change things. All right? The next part. With behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her, even on your bad day. On your bad day, you are being nice. You are seeking the best for your spouse with an attitude of loving kindness. Okay, so nobody's perfect. Yeah, I don't care if you're married 1 week or 50 years. You work at this. And I'm telling you, it's for guys and girls. It is a decision. It is like, yes, it is a decision that I am going to treat my wife this way. All right. No matter what's going on with your bad day, what's going on with your bad day. So praise the Lord. Pastor G, it's so much fun. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the ladies and we'll wrap up here. Ladies, because you don't get out of this easy. Okay. Ladies. The next part of it says, and the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband. Oh, yeah. Wow. That she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, holding him dear. All you guys should go, yay! This is your time. You should start shouting, okay? What are you doing? Okay, so whether you're the husband or the wife, and this also applies to your kids, your parents and stuff like that, you need to focus on these important things when you're going through your worst bad days. You need to focus on them, okay? So I think we're going to pray. And I believe that the presence of the Lord is here, and it's not weird. God is not weird. People are weird, okay? But I believe the presence of the Lord, he is here. And I believe that he spoke to a bunch of you guys. Matter of fact, I believe he spoke to all of you because I've been praying that. But about what we taught, that he was dealing with your hearts, okay? So why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, I know you've spoken to hearts this morning. Your word is a light. Your word has brought light to hearts. And I thank you, Father, that it continues, that we would focus on the important things as we go through bad days. We will focus on our relationship with you, on the purpose and the gifts, and we'll focus on the people that we love. And I thank you. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that we're going to yield to you. When we draw near to you, when we have times where we're reading the word or just thinking about, even through a song, we're going to yield to you, Father, because we want to bear fruit. And we want to be that one that when we reach heaven, you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. Hallelujah. And then there's a pile of rewards. I know all of you want to do that. So, Father, we just say we yield as you speak to us in the today and the upcoming days. In Jesus' name. And I just have one more thing here. Maybe you came here and someone brought you here. The Holy Spirit led you here. I don't know. But you don't have a relationship. And you've heard a lot about relationships today. Jesus said, whoever calls upon my name, I will save. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus, I will save. And he also said, if you believe in me, I'll give you everlasting light. All right. And it's not by works. You can't be good enough. You can't keep doing this and this. It's a trust and believe. Amen. It's just a simple trust and believe. So I'm asking, do you remember a time and a place where you said, Jesus, I accept you as my personal savior and I'm making a decision to follow you? Can you remember a time that you said that? If you'd say, Pastor D, you know what? I've never said that, but I know today, I just want today to do that. So I would like you to pray with me or pray after me. And all of us are going to pray this out loud. All of us are going to pray it with them. All right. And you, when you pray this, you pray it loud enough that you hear it. Okay? You don't have to stand up. If you want to stand up, I don't care. But you pray it so you can hear it. But we're going to say this prayer afterwards. And while you pray this prayer, if you've prayed this, you're going to pray this for the first time, a miracle happens. You may not look any different. Okay? You may not have tears and something, but God will do a miracle in life, in your life. He'll make you his child. He just does incredible things. So say this with me. Father, I realize I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. Today, I look to Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Today, I trust in you. Today, I believe in you. Today, I make a decision to follow you. I thank you. I'm now a child of God. Heaven's my home, and Jesus is my Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're called a child of God. You're in the kingdom of light. You're been changed on the inside. It's an inside thing. And the Bible says that all your past wiped out. You're brand new. Man, I like brand new. I like a brand new car, brand new house, brand new shoes. I like brand new. Better yet, brand new you. All right? And you're a child of God. And he's promised you a great life, an abundant life, even when you walk through hard times. Amen. All right. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, come up and tell me. I got a little book for you. I want to do high five. All right? And I won't embarrass you, but I just want to just tell me. All right? So the rest of you all, let's stand up. Hallelujah. You want to make one more good words out of her mouth? I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Everything I set my hand to, I prosper in. I speak your word, and there's signs following. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer for anything, I've got some people up front that'll come up here, or they'll come up front, whatever, you know what I meant. Grow group, sign up. If you have questions, come and see me about the particular groups. Books are ordered through the bookstore. They'll be coming in next week. That's why the books aren't there. Sort of. Maybe. All right.